let the Spirit guide us into joy. Like, think about the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Whenever I talk to somebody about, like, Christianity who's not a Christian, and they're, like, pushing back, mm-hmm. I say, who doesn't want somebody who's full of love, joy, peace, patience, mm-hmm. kindness, stuff? Like, I want my boss to be that.
Yep.
I want my wife to be that, right? My best friends. Like, those are characteristics that anybody should embrace, right? We have to really, like, intentionally move that way, mm-hmm. and guard ourselves from the things that will steal those from us.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Loving God, Loving People podcast, where we talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in our everyday lives and how, in the end, all that matters is God and people. Here's today's episode.
Well, hey, welcome to the podcast. I am sitting here right now with Justin Martz, and today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, which for some people, Justin, they're going to hear that and be like, this is weird. This seems like, you know, is this real life? What are these guys? Are they into all kinds of other weird beliefs and all of that? Because for some people, they go, no, if I can't touch it, see it, smell it, whatever, it doesn't exist. And it's all about material world. But the Bible does teach that there is a spiritual realm all around us. So kind of unpack that for us.
Sure. Yeah. Easy. What you're describing is actually kind of typical, right? And there's a phrase that I like that I've seen called evangelical deism, right? And what that means is, as Christians, we believe in a spiritual reality. Mm-hmm. Like, we believe that God exists, who is spirit.
Yep.
And then we read in scripture that there's angels. Okay. Like, that's something. That there's at least a Satan, or like a head evil being that, like, mm-hmm. wants to wreak havoc on the earth. We read in the Gospels about exorcisms and demons.
Yep.
But we don't ever really make a frame for any of that. We just kind of, like, leave it in the pages of scripture.
Yep.
But we believe in a spiritual being, God.
Yep.
And we put our faith in Jesus, and we believe in this Trinity idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this almost, like, really kind of weird, like you said, it's on one side, I believe in this unseen realm, the spiritual world, but this other side, I'm like, well, yeah, but, like, kinda,
yeah,
you know, I don't really want to, like, go into it too much. And there's kind of this balance of, saying, you know, I need to understand it,
yep,
and have a good, healthy, like, framework for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to be obsessed with it.
Yeah. Cause people will typically fall into one of two camps.
Yeah.
Either right now you're listening to the podcast because you saw the topic and you're like, yes, spiritual warfare.
Let's go.
Let's dive in. Let's talk about all the crazy stuff that's in the Bible, and you obsess over it. And it becomes, you know, anytime you get a flat tire, you're like, oh, Satan. Satan's after me right now.
Satan's behind that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can obsess over it, or you can go to the other extreme and just ignore and go, oh, there is no spiritual realm, or there is, you know, or at least live as if there is no spiritual
realm. Yeah. And I guess that's evangelical deism. It's like we're living like there's no spiritual realm or battle, mm-hmm. or whatever. At the same time, believing that there is a spiritual realm, and things in scripture are true and authoritative to our lives. So it's important that we get that, right?
So let me ask you a really practical question then. So maybe you're listening right now, and cognitively you're like, yeah, I assent to the reality that there's a spiritual realm, but in practice, there's nothing different.
Yeah.
So if you were to actually live in light of what scripture teaches about there are forces of evil, and not just because something's spiritual doesn't mean it's holy. There's evil spiritual realities. How should I live different? How should that affect my day-to-day when I wake up, when I'm going throughout my day, when I'm at work, when I'm dealing with kids, or when I'm, you know, if you're dating or whatever, like how does that reality affect your day-to-day?
Yeah. So that's a great question.
Or should it, maybe?
Yeah. It should, because we are in a war.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we really embrace it or not, there is a spiritual battle happening around us, for us. And the New Testament, Jesus and the New Testament is clear.
I'm going to pause you for a second, because that's really important. Yeah. So what Justin just said, I'm going to repeat it again. We are in a war.
Yeah.
And to be like, no, I don't think we are. That's like getting into a boxing ring
and
saying, I don't really box. Well, you're going to get knocked out cold by the other guy who's in the ring with you because he is boxing and you are in a boxing ring. And whether you acknowledge or say, yeah, I do this or don't or whatever, you are in a war. You are a part of the reality of what's happening spiritually around you.
Yeah. There's actually no neutrality. So there is a kingdom of darkness, of Satan, that is bent on destruction. Mm-hmm. That's not equal to God's because God created all spiritual beings as well as physical beings and with free will. And so there was falls on both sides. But Jesus talks about this kingdom of Satan when he's being challenged about, you know, exercising demons. Mm-hmm. And he says, like, you know, Satan wouldn't kind of like take away from his own kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. So there's like a real kingdom of Satan in darkness that the New Testament authors are not only familiar with, but embraced to the point of saying, like, we have to be aware of this and we have to be on guard for it. They don't seem to be obsessed with it, but it is in like the Gospels and most New Testament letters that, you know, there's this, again, this kingdom of darkness. Jesus even says that, you know, this world, you know, is in the, like the realm of Satan. Like there's a real control that is dark.
Mm-hmm. But in the world and the culture and all of that. And I love that you said there is no neutrality. So there's not like there's a, you know, spiritual Switzerland, you know, in the realm that is unseen. It's either, okay, it's of God or it's not. And anything not of God is anti-God.
Right. Yeah, of course. And so, but also we have to know that in Christ, we have victory. Mm-hmm. And like literally we've transferred from a kingdom of darkness to light, from control over here, of control of sin and darkness and in the power of the evil one, to freedom in Christ and decisions and our mindsets and all those things. So at the same time thinking, okay, the world is in this darkness, I have victory and freedom in Christ that I can exercise, that I need to know. You know, Jesus sends out a group of disciples that aren't the apostles, they're different disciples. And they come back and they say, oh my gosh, we have power even over like, you know, demons in your name, right? It's not us, it's your power. But that's a really important passage, I think, for us to kind of embrace, knowing that there is, again, a real darkness out there, but also that we have victory in Christ over those things.
Yeah, and so living in that victory is important because sometimes you can be free but not live free. You can... One of the great pictures in the Old Testament we have, you have God rescuing Israel out of slavery in Egypt, yet they still live like slaves.
Yeah.
And they have victory. They've been freed, yet they're still going, oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. And I wish, you know, they fed us well when we were enslaved there and all of that. And God has to teach them how to live free. And that's part of why we have the Ten Commandments and why God then teaches them to depend on him with manna and all of that and to lean into, hey, you've been set free. Let me teach you how to live free and then enter into the promised land.
Totally.
And that, I think, is a great picture of where we're at, where we do have freedom. We do have victory. And at the same time, we need to learn how to live victorious, and we need to learn how to live free. I do want to talk about this because some people listen and they go, yeah, I'm into horoscopes and, you know, all these different spiritual things. I'm just a real spiritual person.
Yeah.
But you talked about there's good spiritual and there's evil spiritual.
Yeah.
And there are things you and I can do that are inviting evil spiritual influence into our lives. How do you identify what is evil and what is good? And unpack that a little bit, because I think that's a part of our culture right now is to, yeah, I love Jesus and, you know, I follow him and he saved me. And I also do these other things and kind of dabble in these other spiritual practices that aren't necessarily holy.
Totally. And it's interesting because, like, if you ask somebody to define spirituality, it's broad, right? Yeah. And culture and what it means, this idea of like, oh, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual.
Yeah.
I'm not a Christian, but I'm spiritual, right? Like, there's definitely a sense of reality of something outside of myself, right? There's a reality that is outside of the physical realm that people get, but what they don't understand is they they're there's darkness and evil that they're dabbling in, and that can be scary and lead to, you know, lead you off course, right, to destruction. There was an old analogy that says, like, you know, when a clock's off, like, a lot, like, you know it, right? You won't be late for your plane because you know the time's wrong. Yeah. But when the clock's off a little, you might miss your flight because you're like, oh my gosh, like, I thought it was off, right? So it's like this, this new idea of spiritual, well, actually an old idea, but like repackaged spirituality and like, yeah, let's, you know, dabble into these things. They're all ways of deception, right? Of Satan, you know, kind of, I think there's that quote we talked about yesterday from Usual Suspects. Yeah, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled,
convincing the world that he does not exist.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I want to be spiritual. I want to believe in something outside of myself. And even Christians, again, in this like kind of evangelical deism is like, okay, maybe, you know, horoscopes are okay or whatever, but like the best thing you can do is just like, you know, read the Bible.
Yeah.
and learn from the writers of scripture and from Jesus, like, okay, that there is truth, there's light, there's peace, right? Like what Jesus wants to bring to you is freedom and peace. And not anxious, anxiety, or all these things.
And it's pure, meaning it's pure truth. It's 100% capital T truth. And to your point, some of these other things, there might be an element of truth to it. Like, oh, okay, I want to go meditate. And when people say meditate, they're talking about Eastern meditation of I want to completely empty my mind. Well, there is something to meditation. The scripture would even encourage meditation, but not that kind of meditation. The meditation that scripture would point us towards is filling your mind, focusing your mind on truth, as opposed to completely emptying it. Because when you completely empty it, who knows what's going to fill it? Who knows what's going to come in? And the subtlety, again, because that's so important, the clock being just a little bit off, the Bible teaches that Satan masquerades as an angel of light.
Yeah.
That he's not, you know, horns and pitchfork and red tail.
Those caricatures that we've created are dangerous because, okay, I'm looking for that, like, okay, I tell picture of a demon or whatever, that's bad, right? But, oh, this is an angel that's, like, pretty and, like, it's still steering you into the dark.
Yeah.
And that's where people can get.
And I'll go all the way there right now. Religion, I believe, is constructed by evil. I believe that is religion. And when I say religion, I mean us trying to earn our way to God, us trying to figure out, you know, here's all the rules and here's who's in and who's out and all of that. Religion is about us trying to earn, us trying to achieve, us trying to work. Religion existed with the Pharisees and Jesus called it evil.
Yeah.
And he went right after it. And you see it throughout the New Testament kind of creeping in, and you see it throughout church history creeping in. And I believe religion looks really good.
Totally.
And we're drawn to it.
Yeah.
Like beautiful, religious, whatever, ceremony and all of that. There's some good in this realm of religion that is attractive, that is beautiful, but at the same time leads us away from Jesus as a great Savior and we are great sinners and we are in need of His grace and it's by grace alone that we're saved. It drifts us away from that. But again, it's so subtle.
So subtle.
Yeah.
It's so subtle. And that's what makes it dangerous, right? This, scripture talks about the devil being like a roaring lion, right? Like, so we take that subtlety and we say, okay, there's also this real sense of Satan is trying to destroy you, right? Yes. Like, you gotta, like, That's his end game.
And by destroy you, destroy your relationships, destroy your relationship with God, destroy your relationship with yourself, with others,
take
with
you
creation.
Out of peace, take you out of light. Separate you from people, right? One of the best things you can do around the spiritual warfare is to stay in community, right? You know, connect with people, be encouraged by each other, you know, vent or whatever, like help talk things out. But don't let yourself be separated, you know, and alone and fearful.
To go back to that analogy of a roaring lion, what does the lion do? Well, it looks for somebody who's weak and on their own.
By themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who's not with the pack. There's safety in numbers in that because there is the ability to see what other people can't see and to go, hey, that might seem spiritual, but you're actually believing a lie. Let's talk about that for a minute because throughout scripture, if you look from Genesis to Revelation, the number one tactic that you see Satan using. One, he's an accuser.
Yeah.
So he wants to make you feel shameful and guilty and all of that. And he's constantly accusing and pointing out he knows the Bible. He knows the law. He knows that far better than any one of us do. And he's going to go, oh, see, look, you messed up. But his tactic is lies.
Yeah.
From Genesis on, his temptations are all wrapped up in the core of the temptation. There's a lie. Can God really be trusted? Did God really say? And that's what he says to Eve, and then he deceives, and he says, well, actually, and he kind of spins the truth a little bit, and he twists it. And Jesus says when he speaks lies. That's his native language.
Yeah.
That is the language of Satan. So talk about the connection between, because we're talking about mind wars.
Yeah.
Lies that we're tempted to believe and spiritual warfare, and how spiritual warfare and lies kind of go hand in hand.
I think you pretty much nailed it there. You know, when you go back to the beginning, you know, Genesis 1 through 3, you see that God creates everything good, and his purpose is to have humanity working with him in creation.
Yep.
And their goal is to become something more, right, to grow and to be over creation. And so when you see the interaction, like you said, the deception isn't the goal that deception isn't a bad thing, right? Become more like God. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that's what we were trying to do, right? Become more like God.
He gave us dominion. Yeah. We get to be creative. We get to subdue. We get to take chaos and bring it to order,
his
which
image
is what
in
God
the earth.
Does in
yeah,
the first,
like all these things,
first chapter.
Right? So the end, the result isn't the bad thing. It's how
the
you
means.
Get there. It's the means. So instead of just trusting God, God's like, trust me, right? Mm-hmm. But you have a choice. You can trust me and choose life, peace, light, or you can choose death, destruction, what you think is good, what you think will lead you to the end result, right? And so that's what happened. Like, oh, it looks good. Like it was appealing. She thought it would make her wise, right? So John actually even talks about those same three things in 1 John, like what the world comes in, it looks good. We think it's going to make us wise and smart. It's the same things that get us the whole time. It is that deception of...
Which Satan does with Jesus. He says, hey, I'll give you all these kingdoms and all this power and all that. Well, Jesus is the King of Kings. And so that is the right answer. But then the means to which to get there is
to fully trust. And that's where peace really comes from, because that tree of good and evil is kind of like a key thing for scripture, because it's the Hebrew words tov and ra, good and bad. And those two concepts represent those two ideas. Are you going to fully trust God in what he says is good, what he says is right, what his path is, and all those things? Or are you going to trust yourself or influence from the world or evil beings, evil spiritual beings that are going to pull you over to trust something, another path? And that path is going to lead to destruction and hurt and lack of peace, right? We want, like everybody wants peace and comfort, you know, all these things that Jesus says, I'll give you that.
Yep.
But then we're like, okay, yeah, but like, let me just do it my way.
Let me try
it's
and get there
same
a different path.
Thing the whole time. So we have to just be really aware of that.
Which comes back to, you're talking about all these decisions that we're constantly making.
Mm.
And in any given day, you and I, we're making decisions constantly, even if we don't realize we're, I'm choosing even where we're going in this conversation. I'm choosing what I think about. I'm choosing where I go to lunch today. I'm choosing, you know, what I'm going to do with opportunities that come, whether I do something or choose not to do something. There's all these decisions, and some are good.
Yeah.
And some are not good. And how I react or how I choose is going to be based on my thinking. It's going to come down to what am I allowing into my mind? How do I understand who God is? What is my view of God? A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about us is what we think about God.
Totally.
Because our view of God, how we understand who God is, will determine whether we choose his path or our path.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about spiritual battle, so much of that, in fact, throughout scripture, I would say pretty much all of it is a battle in the mind.
Yeah.
And it's a battle for the mind.
Yeah. Paul says in Ephesians, when he's talking about the spiritual armor, that Satan throw, like there's flaming darts that are being tossed at us, right? So it is those, it's not like we'll never see something or something will come into our mind or whatever that like, we're like, wait, where'd that come from? Like, that's not good. But like what you do with it, what you dwell on, how, you know, mm-hmm. where you go with those things is what's key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then taking some steps, I think, to again, guard yourselves, because a lot of language in the New Testament is about that. Like, know that you have victory in Christ, know who you are, but also take steps mm-hmm. to guard yourself from real spiritual warfare and attacks that are coming. For instance, also in Ephesians, Paul talks about, he says, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down your anger and give a foothold for Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, part of the weaknesses I have is just from me, my mm-hmm. flesh, right? I might get angry for something mm-hmm. or whatever that yep. is. But then that can lead to a further issues. Now Satan's like, okay, I see an in,
yep.
right? I'm going to like take advantage of that and pull it more,
yep.
right? He'll take us further than we expected,
yep.
right? So like guard yourself from that. Or even in Corinthians, Paul talks about husband and wife relationships. And he says, you know, that your body doesn't belong to yourself, but your wife's and vice versa. And so there should only be a small amount of time that you like abstain
mm-hmm.
For the purpose of prayer, you know, so that you have a focus on God
mm-hmm.
and then come back together. He's like really quickly.
Kind of like fasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, you know, come back together so that you don't also like give a foothold for Satan there either. Mm-hmm. And so what we tend to do sometimes is, you know, let's say you're in a period of, you know, whatever, maybe you're arguing, so you're being abstinent or whatever, you're not filling it with the prayer and the fasting. Like, but I think even what you said earlier, if you don't fill your mind
mm-hmm.
with something positive and good and focused on God, mm-hmm. it will be filled with something else,
mm-hmm.
right? And it yep. will lead you to further sin and difficulty.
Yeah, and just to remind us all, because it is important, the enemy... Jesus says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
That is his intent. But then Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest, have it abundantly,
yeah.
have it overflowing. And so it comes down to, you talked about fiery arrows. We extinguish those with the shield of faith.
Mm-hmm.
That is a defensive, you know, and when we talk about faith, we're talking about faith in God and
yeah.
what he's spoken to us, his word, capital T truth, and going, hey, I'm tempted here, but the truth says I'm gonna go down this path, and I'm actually gonna experience what my heart and soul is longing for, because I'm trusting. That's faith. Faith is action oriented. I'm choosing. I am deciding. I'm not just thinking, because faith is not just about thinking. Oh, I just consent to that, and I agree. You know, cognitive assent or whatever. But no, I'm actually going to take action.
Yeah.
I'm going to take steps down that path. And that's what faith is. And then we have our one offensive tool, which is the sword of the Spirit,
yeah.
which is the word of God, which is the truth.
Yeah.
And so to be spending time in the word of God, to memorize it, David talks about, yeah. you know, he keeps it treasured in his heart.
Yeah.
That wherever David goes, that truth is with him, protecting him wherever he goes. That we're to do that. We're to meditate on Scripture. We're to fill our minds
yeah.
with the truth so that we can fight these spiritual battles.
I did a devotion that was released today on Deuteronomy 4, which you even preached on not too mm-hmm. long ago with the Shema.
Yep.
And then like right after that, it says, you know, as you're, you know, walking down the road, you should talk about this, you should put it on the doorposts.
Yep.
And in my house, on my doorpost, I have a mezuzah,
uh-huh.
which has that passage like rolled up in it. And I say, like, even if you go to Israel, like all the doorposts will have those.
Yep.
And it's like just a reminder, a daily reminder. Oh, what am I talking about? What am I thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that passage is so important because it is what you're saying. God wants us to, talk about him, keep mm-hmm. our minds filled with him. You know, I spend a lot of time talking about like movies and TV shows with people and stuff. And you know, and on the devotional, I admit to it. And I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, instead we should be talking more about God, his mm-hmm. word, all these things. Cause it's that renewing of your mind and that constant thinking about what's good and you know, putting out, like you said, those flaming arrows
mm-hmm.
will lead us to more and more peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you said that's part of the armor of God, right? All those things.
Yep.
So that's one really important passage that people need to like really kind of think about more, because it's a spiritual armor.
Yeah.
Right. But none of like, who does that? Like who reads that every day or thinks about, okay, God, like I really want today protected from mm-hmm. spiritual influence.
Yep.
I have enough problems with myself. right? And the world.
Yeah.
Like, let's take this one out, or knowing, my mind.
Knowing that today you are going into battle, mm-hmm. you don't want to go into battle without armor.
Yeah.
Just this weekend, I was with a bunch of guys, and we were dirt bike riding out in the forest or whatever, and we spend like 30 minutes gearing up, like putting on, you know, the chest protector and all the gear, and I look like a stormtrooper by the time we get on the bikes and go out, which was really good because I crashed like a dozen times, and I'm hurting today. But it was important, knowing that we were going into a dangerous situation, mm-hmm. that you want to gear up, and you want to protect yourself. And so know that. If you're not putting on the full armor of God, you're still going into war.
Yeah.
And so you want to gear up.
Yeah.
And you want to protect yourself, because the end result, again, to your point, is more peace, more joy, life to the fullest, what Jesus has promised to us.
Yeah. In that second half of Ephesians, Paul is talking about what does a spirit-filled community look like? Mm-hmm. What does a spirit-led relationship look like? All these things. And he even says in there, you know, like, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's about control.
Mm-hmm.
It's about control. It's about, what are you letting control your life, the direction of your life? And even this series, is it your mind? Is it mm-hmm. the thoughts? Is it childhood trauma? You know, is it... influence of the marketing, mm-hmm. right? Influence of the world. Is it just evil forces that can really lead us astray, like evil spiritual forces, or alcohol or drugs or whatever those things are? Like, the whole idea is, like, how do we stay sober-minded,
mm-hmm.
Let the Spirit guide us into joy? Like, think about the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Whenever I talk to somebody about, like, Christianity who's not a Christian, and they're, like, pushing back,
mm-hmm.
I say, who doesn't want somebody who's full of love, joy, peace, patience, mm-hmm. kindness, stuff? Like, I want my boss to be that.
Yep.
I want my wife to be that, right? My best friends. Like, those are characteristics that anybody should embrace, right? But we have to really... like, intentionally move that way, mm-hmm. and guard ourselves from the things that will steal those from us.
Yeah.
So how do I let the Spirit guide me, and then also put on those things to protect me from, you know, in battle?
Yeah. Well, here, let's end this way, Justin, as we're all in battle right now, and we're in front of us, there's more battle. There is a war going on around us. Would you pray for us, and would you pray for that armor to be real as we go through our days, as we go through our weeks?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks, Robert. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you now. Thank you for the salvation we have in Jesus. Thank you for the victory that we have through him over death, over evil spiritual forces, Satan and demons that are out, really trying to lead us astray and off the path. Help us to, one, be aware that the world is in darkness, but two, that in Christ we are in light and in victory. Help us to not be obsessed with it, but know going into battle every day that we need to put on our armor. Think about what we're thinking about, and help us to be protected by those things as we move through the day. Knowing again that you have victory over that. So we just pray, we lift up everybody who's listening and everybody who just really needs help and encouragement today, that you just protect them from Satan, from evil spiritual forces, that we go into each day ready for battle, and that we can face it because we have victory in you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Loving God, Loving People podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast wherever you are listening so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this conversation, we'd love it if you rated the podcast and left us a review. Also, sharing this with a friend is a great way to help more people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And lastly, you are always welcome to join us online for one of our services every week at live.sv.cc, or go to locations.sv.cc to join us in person at one of our physical locations. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.